This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
If you love the church and are a member of it, do you ever ask the question, is it time for another Reformation? We'll address this question today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the message that you have given to your church. We pray that we may in no way distort it, but ask that we will expound it with all of its power and purity, that those who do not believe in you, Lord Jesus, may be brought to faith, and those of us who do trust you as Savior and Lord, that we may grow in that faith and live according to your holy word. In this difficult time, we pray that your church may be the faithful witness to the gospel. In Christ's name, amen. Friends in Christ, two pastors were sitting at a coffee table, visiting with one another, when the one asked, "Do you think it is time for another Reformation in the church?" The other, with a smirk on his face, said, "Does the kitchen need to be cleaned up?" We understand that wherever human beings dwell, things have a tendency to get dirty. That's just who we are. It was in the 16th century that we had the Protestant Reformation under the guidance of Dr. Martin Luther. He was thoroughly convinced after his study that it was time to clean up the church, which in some parts of his teaching had departed from biblical truth. Now, during these last three Sundays, I have been talking about some of the great teachings of the Reformation. The one is that we are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That message had been dealt with in an unscriptural way, and Luther brought it back to what the scriptures actually said. The second one was, there is one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus. And after he was done studying the scriptures, he became convinced that the hierarchy has no special place in God's economy as far as mediation for sinners. And thirdly, was last week the importance of hearing God's voice through a faithful reading of the Bible, which is put into the hands of the people. And you'll recall that Martin Luther, when he spent that year in the captivity for fear of his safety, translated the New Testament in order that people might have access to this Word of God. Now, it would be foolish to believe that there is no need for another Reformation. Rather, history teaches us that there must be an ongoing Reformation. Human beings with false teachings contaminate the teachings of the Christian faith, expound it that way, and soon people are confused. And so today, when you visit with people about Christianity, it is very easy to see that they are confused. If you don't believe it, enter into a conversation with them and learn what they believe about Christ and His church. Ask them, what is the one way to heaven? And then notice how they respond. Some will respond well according to the scriptures, but there are many who will show you that they are truly confused. So let me point out two areas today where we could say the church is in need of a reformation. The first one, people, is a new, well, it's new to me, so perhaps I shouldn't say that it is new, a new emphasis or teaching entitled God's Ongoing Creative Activity. God's ongoing creative activity. Now, I have sat and listened during these past weeks to the financial experts talk about what's happening in our economy. And they have used so much technical knowledge and vocabulary that I often do not know what they're talking about. I don't want that to happen today with this sermon. So when I talk about God's ongoing creative activity, you may ask, what in the world does that mean? I just want to hear the Word of God. Can you help me? To put it simply then, as the years have gone by and God has had an opportunity to observe human behavior, He has changed His mind on certain matters. This is what these people are expounding, that God has adjusted to where we are living in some cases. For example, He has perhaps studied human behavior enough to realize that there have to be some adjustments as far as sexuality is concerned. And so churches spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to give a statement, and perhaps with great motivation and some honesty, real honesty, they come forth with one, as if the Bible isn't very clear about what sexuality is as far as God is concerned. But because God, over the course of time, might have had to adjust His behavior, we now are perhaps going to have to adjust ours. In other words, what once was sin, cohabitation, the practice of homosexuality, immorality of all kinds, now may have to be taken another look at, and we have to see if God wants us to do some adjusting, as perhaps He has. What once was right now needs to be changed updated. The Christian faith, like anything else, must be brought up to par. This is heresy, people. It is false teaching that can in no way be accepted by Christian people and certainly by the Church of Christ. And yet, that theory, that exposition, is found in many Protestant denominations, that Jesus Christ, in his ongoing activity, from time to time, has to change his mind. And as a result of that, we are supposed to change ours, and the teachings and guides of the past are thrown out, considered only old-fashioned. The Bible does not change. God in his word says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is found in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus is the word, so what it is saying is the word of God does not change. It is time for a reformation. Human minds have proven unfaithful to the word of God when they expound such a teaching, and they have dirtied the waters. Such teaching has to be dealt with by the church, and those who expound it must be excommunicated or change their mind. Certainly it can be done in love. It should be done in love. Love first for the church and then for those who are the heretics. The second one that I would call to your attention is the use of God's law. Now, in your Bible, you have the law and the gospel. The law describes the demands of God. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, we have listed the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. They were given to the people of Israel and passed on to those of us who are New Testament Christians. They describe the rights and the wrongs. They show what God expects, demands of us. And so when you go through those particular commandments, you understand how helpless, spiritually speaking, we really are, how dependent we are on God. Therefore, when we read, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," "Honor your father and your mother," "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," "Thou shalt not steal," "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," "Thou shalt not covet." When you hear these words and take a look at your life as I do of mine, I can certainly see that I am helpless. I am dependent on God. And then God comes in with his gracious gospel. And this is what my text for today, only one verse, where from Romans 5, the apostle is saying, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is a picture then of how Jesus brings us into a relationship with God. And we see the preciousness of the gospel. In other words, we have our own style of living. And then God intervenes with his law. And much of what he has to say and what his wishes are for our lives is not necessarily the way that we want to live. But God's law does not change. And therefore, if we want to be in relationship with him, we must repent of our sins, turn from that kind of living, and turn to him. But we are helpless. Then what is he going to do? When you come before the throne of grace with the word of God before us in the Ten Commandments, we can only say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And it is at this particular time that God in his mercy and grace reaches out his hands and says, "I grant you the forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." You are my child. Go in peace. But that gospel is only precious if the law is taken seriously. That gospel is only full of meaning when we understand how helpless we really are. To live in a personal relationship with God, we must have a Savior who alone is Jesus Christ. Without a Savior, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without forgiveness of sins, God can have nothing to do with us. But humans don't like that. You see, they do not want to be dependent upon anybody. They want to figure out their own style of living. This is just a part of our being. Let me have my way. And so they have decided that it would well be well to have another heresy, which is called relativism. That means that all truth is up for grabs. Who are you to push your views on me? There are no absolutes. There are no rights or wrongs. This can be expounded again and again, and sometimes is, within the boundaries of the established church. Is there a need for an ongoing reformation? There certainly is. It's true in our individual lives, and it's true in the life of the corporate group, the church. Now, I am anxious to say that in my own life, it is an ongoing reformation. It is not something that happened in my life, as say, 25 years ago, and there hasn't had to be any adjustments from that day to this. I can remember well finding peace with God only after the murky waters of self-righteousness had been lifted from my soul. As I have often told you, I was raised in a congregation where the gospel was preached Sunday after Sunday. We were most favored people with good preaching of the word. But somewhere along the way, I had gotten the idea that, yes, I had to believe in Jesus, but I also had to do a lot of good works. And so I had to try to live by those Ten Commandments, and I often could not do these Ten Commandments. And so the question was, who saves me then? I went to college. I began to study for the ministry. But in my soul, there was no real peace. Almost, but not quite. I could sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, but I really had never experienced it. Because, and I blame no one, somewhere there was a murky, murky cloud hanging over my eyes, spiritually speaking. And then finally one day, when just a college student, I found my place in an auditorium in the back row, listening to a noted theologian by the name of Dr. Ted Grebner from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. Dr. Grebner said to the pastors who were gathered there, "As I go about and listen to your preaching, I want to say it kindly but firmly. Often you confuse the law with the gospel. They must stand separately and yet work together. For example," he said, "you remind me of the old saying, 99 and 44, 100% pure. It is not quite pure. It's not 100%. And so our people are believing that, yes, Jesus Christ has done much of it, perhaps nearly all of it, 99 and 44, 100%. But the individual has to do a little bit too. And that robs him of his peace and of his assurance that Jesus Christ alone is adequate. Just tell them, my beloved brothers in the ministry, tell them that Jesus has done it all. Tell it to them every time you have an opportunity, every time you ascend into the pulpit. I could feel, literally, and there may be some emotion with this, but literally I could feel what was happening in my own life. I suddenly had a peace. Christ has done it all. Now that's what you call a reformation in your own life. It was what Luther experienced at Wittenberg. It is what I experienced in my college. The same thing. There is peace with God. That's the ongoing reformation. My prayer today is that some of you who are listening may feel that you don't have that peace either. You're relying on the law. Now, the law is very important. It brings you to Christ. But the law will never save you. And so you're asking yourself, what can I do? And here's the gospel. It can bring you peace. Wherever the gospel and the law are mixed, that place, that church, that congregation, that denomination is in need of a reformation. In the life of the church, it can be found too. The teachers in our churches have tremendous responsibilities. They are the multiplying machines. That's what the professor of Luther Seminary used to say regarding the professors there. The pastor is an adding machine. The intelligent, dynamic lay witness is an adding machine. But the real multiplying machine are those who teach the witnesses. If there are in our seminaries and our colleges that are supported by the church heresies that are being taught, they should be dealt with, and dealt with soon, lovingly but forcefully, for there is always a need of an ongoing reformation. That's the way that is true as far as the pastors who stand in the pulpit and the Sunday school teachers who have those little children. Oh, how they must be watched lovingly and kindly, that the right words are proclaimed and that the gospel of Jesus Christ may ring clearly. Men and women, being what we are, make it necessary to clean up the kitchen once in a while. And that is also true as far as our spiritual life and message is concerned. Amen.
Sinner, come home.
Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is so simple. So simple that even a little child can understand it, that Jesus loved him so much that he died for his sins. Grant, O God, that we may never contaminate that truth. Grant that we may never put heresies in its way, whereas that little child grows older, he might become confused. But may we from the bottom of our hearts reach out to you for guidance and direction in how we teach, how we preach, how we minister, both as laity and as clergy, that the name of Jesus Christ may be held up and that we may be brought to peace through faith in that saving knowledge. Today we remember before your throne of grace those who are sick, the sorrowing, those who wrestle on their beds of pain with these great spiritual truths. May your church be present to guide and to direct them along the way until they meet you in heaven above. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. We pray that if this ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help us pay for radio time. Your free will gifts help us reach innumerable listeners each week with the Word of God. Gifts can be made by credit card over the phone by calling toll-free 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly e-newsletter that gives a preview of the upcoming program. If you would like to join our email list, call our office or send us an email at cc@naz.org. If you would like a cassette, CD, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You may also call our toll-free number at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.